Well, let me tell you a little bit more historically accurate rundown of the story. In 1912, the RMS Titanic set sail across the Atlantic Ocean and was considered one of the most developed and advanced ships ever made in the entire world. But on April 14th, 1912, the Titanic received multiple warnings from other ships about ice fields and large icebergs directly along its route. Some messages about these ice fields and icebergs, they were acknowledged. Others weren't treated as urgent, and some never reached the bridge where the captain was stationed. That night, traveling at full speed through the icy waters, the ship struck an iceberg, and because of the lack of lifeboats and how quickly the ship went down, more than 1,500 people lost their lives. See, the problem was the tragedy didn't happen because ships weren't trying to warn them or speak up. Really, the tragedy happened because what the other ships were saying wasn't being fully listened to or acted on. And so how does this apply to anything that we're going to be talking about today? How does it apply? Well, today we're going to talk about hearing God's voice. And before we talk about how to hear God's voice, I think it's important for us to establish this one truth. God is always speaking. The question is, are we positioned and postured to listen? You get that? God is always speaking, but are we in a position and are we postured to listen to what he's saying? Now, I have this expectation at our house for my kids. And I was talking to my wife about this, and she's like, yeah, that's a your expectation thing. Like, I don't expect, that's your expectation. And how many of you guys, like, you have that, like, you are in a similar boat? Sometimes, like, you have an expectation also by myself. Okay, good. So I have this expectation of my kids that when I call for them and they're in a different room, I want them to come to the room that I am calling for them from, right? Because I want to share with them something important. At least I think it is. I want to share with them something important, and I want to make sure they're in a position and I know what their posture is or what their attitude is or what they're, if they're able to understand what I'm saying. And I know that they're able to do that better if they're in the room with me, that they're positioned and they're postured to listen to what I'm saying, right? In other words, what happens is the more we're out of position and we don't have the right posture, the harder it becomes for us to experience God's voice. So likewise, this applies to us and our relationship with God. If we're out of position and we don't have the right attitude, it's harder for us to experience God's voice in our life. And so he's always speaking. He's always speaking. Now the question is this: are we positioned and postured to listen? And while position and posture is a really cool alliteration, I want to take the next moments that we have here today and I want to break that down into how we hear God's voice. And I have five things that we're going to talk through over the next couple minutes about how you can actually hear God's voice, some things that you can take away and apply them to your life this week. The first is this: remove the noise. Remove the noise, okay? How many of you know what it's like to be in a restaurant or a meeting room? And let's say you're in a meeting room and your boss is talking and all the little chatting that's going around like the table. And it's like, I cannot focus on what my boss is trying to tell me. And I'm not going to be able to walk away from this place understanding the instruction of what they're saying, right? You ever feel like that? Or maybe you're at a restaurant and you're having like a meeting with somebody at a restaurant. And I love Laha. Does anybody like Laha in the room? And some of you are like, I don't know what Laha is. It's just an average Mexican restaurant, okay? All right, but it's my jam. I love meeting people at Laha. But one thing that's not great about Laha, it is so stinking loud at Laha. I don't know why. I think they need some absorption panels, but they've not asked, and so I've not told them. And so, like, I know that when I'm at Laha, I got to sit across the table, and I got to, like, lock in. Like, I got to lock in, or I'm not going to understand what this person, or misunderstand what this person is trying to tell me, right? And I already know that I'm a bad listener. You can ask Ashley. It's okay. Right? I'm not a great listener. And so I know that that's a struggle of mine, so I really have to lock in when there's other noises going on around me. Anybody else in the same boat? Okay, great. Great, and so you understand this, right? So I want to do a little bit of an illustration to kind of get us going this morning. I need a volunteer, but I don't need anybody to jump out of their seats to volunteer, okay, because I already picked one. I know that really devastates all of you. But can I get Preston Irving to stand up for me? Everybody give Preston a hand. You can stay right there. You don't have to come up here yet. You will, but not yet, okay? Preston's awesome. He's a senior at Plainfield. He also goes to CSM. He's a great guy. So, Preston, what I need for you to do is I need you to go over to that corner where that exit sign is, right over there across the room, literally the opposite place from where you started, okay? And I'm going to talk while he goes there, but he has long legs, so he got there a lot faster than my volunteer first service, all right? So to illustrate the point that I'm trying to make, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask you guys to participate a little bit, and I want you to just turn to the neighbor that you're sitting with, and I want you to just have a conversation, like a low kind of, you know, maybe a little less than room volume, inside voice. A little more than inside voices, but not outside voice, okay? Not outside voice. Just a normal volume conversation. All right, let's get it going, okay? Maybe if you're husband and wife, this is your opportunity to pick up on the argument that you left each other with when you got out of the car. If you're single, this is your moment to maybe make a move, all right? If you're positioned in the right place. So, all right, keep going. Keep going. All right, Preston, I want you to look at me. I'm going to tell you something while they're talking, and I want you to look at me, okay? All right? Talking. Stop talking. Stop talking. Who told you to talk? All right, Preston, did you hear what I said?
I love you. That was about it.
Yeah, that was about it, okay? All right. Yeah. All right. All right, Preston, I need you to come a little bit closer, right there in front of that aisle that goes up into the stadium seating. Now, this time, guys, I need for you to use maybe not quite your outside voices yet, but a little louder than what you were just right then, okay? So, like, maybe a heated conversation, okay? But not the same attitude, just the volume, okay? If you are picking up from where you left off in an argument, yeah, that's tempting, but not like that, okay? All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right. Time out. Time out, time out, time out, time out. Okay. All right, Preston, did you hear me? He's just laughing. So I'm taking that as a no. Okay. This is working great. All right. So now this is what I need you to do. Preston, come up here to the stairway. Hurry. Hurry. Use those long legs. All right. Come to the stairway. This time I need for you to, like, really cheer loud and make some noise, okay? Like, just be a little crazy, all right? Like, Pastor Patrick just, like, laid down the best worship service he's ever sung and led in. Like, you're just you're being so loud, okay? All right, do you get it? You get it? Okay, all right, 1, 2, 3, go. That was great. Just a couple seconds sooner, and that would have been really great. Okay. All right. Come on up here now, Preston. Okay. Preston, tell me what I told you.
I got awesome. I think I'm awesome. I think that's about all I got.
Okay. All right. So what I was saying was, I love you. You are awesome. You're amazing, and I'm proud of you, right? And And I am all of these things. I do love him. He is awesome. I am proud of him, and he is amazing. But here's the thing. Like, these are the most basic things that the Lord wants you to hear to, like, from his heart to you. But we've made our life so noisy that we can't even hear the most basic things that he wants to share with us. Right? Can you give it up for Preston? You can go back to your seat. And so what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, God wants you to hear these things, but we've clouded our life with all of this stuff, right? And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we find a story of a man by the name of Elijah, who has really honestly, he's just come off one of his biggest victories against the prophets of Baal. But because of that, he's now running for his life, because he's trying to escape the king and the queen as they're trying to kill him. And so the Lord tells him to go to Mount Sinai, and he finds a cave, and he's hiding in the cave. And the Lord also said, if you go there, I will speak to you because I want to speak to you. And so Elijah did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, is where we're going to pick up. This is what happens. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. And it goes on to say that that's where the Lord's voice was existing. And that's where God's voice was. And he was trying to speak to Elijah. Elijah was expecting him to speak in all of these huge, loud experiences. But where God was actually speaking was in the sound of a gentle whisper. And we want God's voice to be loud. We want it to be earth-shaking. We want it to be unmissable. And there's times where he speaks like that. But I would say that most times, it's the still, small, and quiet voice that he has as he's trying to talk to us. Most times. He can do the other. But most times, it's the still, small, and quiet voice. And so, if God is always speaking, the question is, what's the noise in your life that's making it hard to hear what God's saying? It could be distractions, right? Like, how many of you have checked your phone at least 5 times since you've been in the room this morning, okay? I didn't say while I was talking because then that would hurt me just a little bit, right? But this phone, this computer that fits in your pocket, like, how many of you, that's the first thing that you check when you get up out of bed, right? It's a distraction, and it brings noise into your life. How about depression and anxiety? There's lots of people that face depression and anxiety. They can't get their thoughts away from all of these thoughts of depression. And did you know that actually there's many theologians that look at Elijah at this point of time in his life, and they would say that it could be that Elijah was actually depressed in this moment because of how things were going, and he had all these thoughts in his mind about being alone and nobody really cared about him. Right? Lots of people think that he might have been depressed. Maybe it's your schedule. Have you ever heard it said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy, right? Right? What's filling your schedule? Is there any room? Are you making room for God to speak to you? Right? What about sin or unrepentance? Like some sin patterns in your life. You know, sin is the separator from God, and it's hard to hear his voice when you have unrepentant sin in your life. Because he's always speaking, we just need to get rid of the noise. And after we get rid of the noise, we have to, number two, learn to recognize his voice. We have to learn to recognize his voice. You know, there are several places in the gospel where Jesus refers to people as sheep. And like the first time when I was younger and I started to hear this, I'm like, but that's kind of, like, I don't like that. I don't like that. But as I got older, I started to realize that's actually true. Like, we are kind of like sheep, right? And if you don't know anything about sheep, sheep aren't the smartest animals. But really, it wasn't about the comparison to the sheep. I believe what Jesus is trying to get us to understand, it's about his comparison to a good shepherd, right? And so Jesus, in Jesus' time, he would have understood this before we read this passage in John chapter 10. He would have understood the context to how people would have related to what he said. The shepherd would nurture and provide protection and help in the birthing process of the sheep. And in Jesus' day, a sheep pen was made of, it was very secure. It had bricks and blocks and rocks, and it was a secure pen that led to a gateway. And since cattle and livestock were such a commodity and so many people made their living by that, the owner would hire a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper would guard the pen so nobody could get into the sheep's pen that shouldn't be there. And so what would happen is a shepherd would go in, and when that shepherd went in, if he was a good shepherd, the sheep would recognize his voice and follow where to the watering hole or to where the pasture would be so the sheep could eat. And so this is what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 2. He says, "But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." You see, he's always speaking, but in order to hear his voice, you have to recognize his voice. How do you recognize God's voice? I would say this. One way you recognize God's voice is to learn to recognize his voice by start reading his word. You learn his voice by reading his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." When you read scripture, you are reading God's voice. When you read his word, it's like he's speaking to you, right? And so many times, like, God, I've never heard God's voice. Well, when's the last time you opened his word to read his voice, right? We read his voice when we read scripture. And can I just tell you this? God will never tell you anything. God will never tell you anything that doesn't line up with principles found in his word. And so if you're like, you know, I just really feel like God told me that I could probably cheat a little bit on my taxes, right? That's relatable because it's tax season, okay? All right? Like, well, here's the thing. God isn't going to tell you that because God says in his word, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. So he's not going to tell you those things. So if you feel like God is telling you something, you got to check it with his word. You got to check it. Right? So always check what you feel like God is telling you by checking his word. All right? He's always speaking. And to hear him speak, you have to learn to recognize his voice. And when you learn to recognize his voice, you need to ask him to speak. You know, in the Old Testament, we see a story that illustrates the recognition of God's voice and what happens when we ask God to speak to us. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'll just give you the cliff notes. Samuel was a young man who was training to become a priest under Eli. And Samuel one night was asleep, and in the middle of the night, he hears his name being called. And just like any of us would assume, the only other person that could be calling our name would be Eli, right? Like, we would go to the person that's in the place where we're sleeping. And so he runs to Eli. And Eli says, that wasn't me. All right, Samuel's like, it was the pizza I had last night. It must have been, okay? He didn't really say that. I'm just saying. Like, okay? And so Eli tells him, go back to bed. So this happens three more times. In this final time, and this is where we're picking up in reading, this final time in 1 Samuel 3:8, this is what happens. Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy Samuel. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And wouldn't you know, the Lord began to tell him some things. And they weren't great things. It wasn't like you're about to find a really hot wife, all right? It wasn't like, you know, I'm going to give you riches upon riches. Like, it wasn't that. It was like, hey, I'm going to end Eli's time as priest because his sons were no good. And I want you to tell him. That's what the Lord wanted to say. And so sometimes if we're listening, we've got to be ready to receive whatever the Lord has for us when we ask him to speak. Because he's always speaking. But when was the last time you asked him to? When was the last time that you asked God to speak? He's always speaking. Sometimes we just have to ask him to share. Because he wants to share his voice with us. He wants us to hear his voice. And when you ask him to speak, you have to be prepared to, number four, listen to what he says. You have to be prepared to listen to what he says. In Numbers chapter 22, a king named Balak was once a prophet named Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And so Balaam asked God what to do. He asks the Lord to speak, and what do you know? The Lord speaks. And so God answers him clearly. He says, don't go with them, right? Don't curse them because those people are blessed. But then the king sent more important people and offered money. Like, say, hey, I want you to curse these people. I'll give you money. And Balaam was like, you got your guy, right? I'll go. I'll go and I'll do it. And so eventually he gets on his donkey and he starts down the road. And as he travels, God sends an angel to block the road with a drawn sword. Balaam can't see the angel, but his donkey can, right? Three times the donkey stops or turns away to avoid the angel. And three times Balaam beats the donkey for not moving until finally, you can read it for yourself in Numbers 22, the donkey turns and talks to Balaam. And he says, why are you doing this? Don't you see what I see? And in that moment, in verse 32, the angel speaks up and he says, look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would certainly have killed you by now and spared the donkey. I'll kill you, but I'll keep the donkey, right? Yeah? So when we ask God to speak, because he wants to speak, he wants us to hear our voice, right? And he's always speaking. But when we ask him to speak, we have to be willing to listen to what he says. Because when we genuinely listen to his voice, then number five, we do what he says. We do what he says. Jesus says this in Luke 11, verse 28. He replied, but even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. There's some translations that last couple words, put into practice, is just straight up, they call it for what it is. They say, obey it. They hear God. More blessed are people than just hearing God's word are the people that do it. They obey what the Lord says. So all throughout his word, God sprinkles in that just knowing, hearing, or even participating in ritual or tradition is not what he's looking for. What he's actually looking for are people that want to hear his word, and then he speaks to them, and then they actually do what he says. They do and they obey. And over and over and over again, God tells the Hebrew people in the Old Testament what they should do. And rather than they do what they said, he would rather have obedience than sacrifice or the feasts or all the extra things that they would do. And what did they, instead of doing, they ignored. They ignored over and over and over again. In the New Testament, James, the brother of Jesus, in James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Don't get it twisted. Like, God isn't speaking to us just to give us things to do, and do. When God speaks to us, it's because he has something better for our lives. He has something better for our lives, and he wants us to trust him with our lives. And so what happens when we don't do the things God's telling us to do? When we ask him to speak and when we listen, but then we don't do, what happens? We drift and we struggle. And eventually, our disobedience begins to make God's voice seem distant or even non-existent in our life. When we don't do what he says, it creates this gap or this chasm, this thing where we start to say things like, wow, it's been a while since I've heard God's voice. Or even worse, I don't even think God speaks to me anymore. Remember, God is always speaking. The question is, are we positioned and are we postured to listen? Remember the Titanic, right? The Titanic had this crazy amount of life lost because people weren't willing to hear the warnings and hear what the other ships were saying. There wasn't lost life because nobody was trying to warn them. There was lost life because the people that heard those warnings weren't willing to act on what was being said. Actually, there's a really crazy story that's recorded that the guy that was operating, the wireless operator, it's where they got messages received, like Morse code and all of that. The guy that was operating that, one of the very last warnings that they received about the direction and the route of the ship, the man replied back to that warning with three phrases, all the same. Shut up, shut up, shut up. He was not willing to listen to this warning or even do anything with it. And so because of that, 1,500 people lost their life. I told First Service that the lawsuits that came in amounted to modern day money of $500 million that the owners of the Titanic were being sued for after the wreck. What ended up happening was they settled that lawsuit to what in the time frame that they were living in 1912, those families received $430 for their loved one that was lost at sea, which amounts to about $13,000 in today's money. Tremendous amount of loss because these operators and this captain would not act on the warnings that these people were sending them. So if we find ourselves in a spot where we'd admit it feels like God hasn't spoken to us in a while, then what do? This is what we do. We go back to the last thing we know he said for us to do, and we do it. It's like we get right back on track. You know, when you mess up, you're going along life, and you're going throughout life, and you kind of falter a little bit. What do you? You get back up, and you keep on going. You go back to where you fell, you get back up, and you move on. And so that's this morning. If you're in a spot where you feel like God hasn't said anything to you in a while, well, what's the last thing he said for you to do? And then go and do it. And sometimes these are big life-altering things that take a lot of trust on our part in the Lord. Maybe it's something like a career change or a move from one place to another. Maybe it's getting married to the person that you're living with instead of just cohabitating with them, right? These are big deals in our minds. But then also there's the smaller things that we would consider to be smaller. Like a conversation with somebody that you know you need to have and God's told you you need to have, but you've just been putting it off. Or what about this? Maybe sharing your story with someone that you know needs Jesus and God's lined it up time after time after time for you to easily share that story. He's lined the situation up. All you had to do was to share it about what God's done in your life because he knows it'll relate to something that's happening in theirs. Or what about this? Maybe it's forgiving somebody that's hurt you in your past and you've lived life with that unforgiveness and it's just grown into bitterness. And he's telling you, hey, just forgive that person. I got something better for you. Just trust me. Forgive. Or what about apologizing for doing something wrong to someone, for wronging them? Maybe it was unintentional, but you just walked away from it and you never took responsibility for it. It could be some of those things. Or what about this? Maybe the next time you go to take your trash out and you go out the same time as your neighbor and you know that we're talking about Easter and you know that this neighbor needs Jesus, or maybe you don't know and you hear the Holy Spirit begin to say, hey, you need to invite them to come to Easter with you. What if you just did that? And you just start doing the things that you know God told you last to do. You just chose not to do them. And then if we would do that, we'd start to hear God's voice a little more and a little more often, right? And it would be more recognizable to us. Because acting on God's voice leads to hearing more of his voice in the future. But inaction leads to feeling like God is silent. I'll say it like this. Action communicates trust. God knows when we move on what he said, he knows that he can trust us with his voice because you trust him with your life. So what do we do with all of this? What do we do? Well, if you truly believe that God is a God who speaks, and he is, whether you believe it or not, he is. He speaks to us all the time. What do we do with this? We put it into practice. You know, this series and the last series, I know you think sometimes we just sit around and we're just like, what should we talk about, right? But we don't. It's way more intentional than that. We start this year off the way that we did because we know that what we need to do as a church is we need to create disciples of Jesus. We have this one buzzword that we say, it's called discipleship. And we're all called to be disciples of Jesus. And we need to teach principles that go along with that. So you're not just coming in and hearing something that feels good. You're coming in, you're being challenged, and then challenged to step out of this place and put these things into practice, right? That's in your life groups too. Go to your life groups. That's part of being a disciple and being in a community. You talk about it there, you talk about it here. So it's not by accident that we talked last month about the midlife and how God has something more for you and the principles that it takes to step into that more, not something mid. And this month, we're talking about promises and the principle that goes along with God's promises. And so weaved into these messages are principles to put into practice. And so what do we do with this? This is the challenge coming out of today. That starting tomorrow, every day, you should position and posture yourself to listen to what God has to say by removing the noise, the distractions, or the sin, and repenting of that sin, learning to recognize his voice, getting into a rhythm where you're reading God's word, right? Where you're asking him to speak, and then also you're willing to listen what he has to say. And then when he speaks to you and you're listening, you then take it the next step and you do what he has to say. Those are the principles that we're trying to teach so that you can hear God's voice. How many of you want to hear God's voice in your life? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all the things that you've given us to live our life by. But God, one of the things that I'm most grateful for is the fact that you love us enough that you would speak to us, your people, that you give direction, you give guidance, you give hope. Father, but so many times we miss out on that because we aren't putting steps into place. We aren't creating disciplines in our life to become that kind of a disciple that hears your voice on a regular basis, that senses your leading in our life. So, Father, I ask that you would help us as we try to become more like you and more in tune with what your voice is saying to us. And so this morning, this is what I'm going to ask. Maybe you're here in the room and you would say, you know, it's been a while since I've heard God's voice, but I want to hear God's voice and I want to put these things into practice. Would you just raise your hand for just a second? I just want to see who I'm about to pray for. Because there's going to be, and maybe even right now, the enemy's telling you, you know what, that's not real. God doesn't speak to you, right? Or maybe he's saying you're not worthy of God speaking to you. That's a lie, right? On your own, but Christ died so that you could be right in the eyes of God. He wants to speak to you. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are raised in this room. And God, I pray that every person in this room has a desire to hear from you on a daily basis. God, help us though, the ones that raise their hand, help us to have the strength every single day to carve out time in our schedule, to make time for you, to repent and to ask you to speak and then be willing to listen and do the things that you're speaking to us. Give us the strength and ability to do that every single day. And maybe there's others of you in the room this morning and you would say, hey, you know, I kind of know why. Maybe I don't feel like the Lord is speaking to me, or maybe I don't hear God's voice. And really, it's really something that before these steps can put into place, I think it's because I just don't have a relationship with Jesus. Well, can I tell you that a relationship with Jesus is the most important decision that you'll ever make with your life? Because at the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and he created mankind, he had this perfect plan that he wanted to see unfold. And then imagine that humans messed it up. And we created this separation because of sin between us and God. But God wasn't done. He had another plan. And what his plan was, it was through his one and only son, Jesus, who he sent to live a life of perfection and to die a death that he didn't deserve in order to take on all of our sin and all of our mistakes so that we could live a life that we didn't deserve and experience an eternity with him. And so if that's you this morning, you would say, hey, I think my first step needs to be, I need to get right with God. I need to make him Lord of my life. I need to start a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, would you be brave enough? Nobody's looking around. Just slip up your hand real quick so I know who I'm about to pray for and pray with. Anybody in the room? I see that hand. That's great. Anybody else? Just a second longer. We're going to do this. I'm going to say a prayer. You're going to repeat it after me. And we're all going to pray this prayer together because nobody at Crossroads prays alone. And it's not about the prayer. It's about the heart that's praying the prayer. Right? So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm far off. And I know that I need a Savior. Thank you for coming to this earth, taking on my sin, and going to the cross to pay the price. And 3 days later, raising from the dead. God, from this point on, the best that I know how, I give you my life and I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, can we celebrate with those that prayed that prayer this morning? Hey, and you have that blue connection card in your seat or in your hand. Whether you prayed that prayer or not, we believe everybody has a next step. We'd love for you to make sure that you mark your next step. And if you did pray that prayer, whether it was the first time that you prayed it or maybe you're recommitting your life to Christ this morning, we'd like for you right under that header, my decision today, we'd like for you to mark one of those boxes if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, right? Can we stand together, church, as we close? I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come to the front. And if you have any needs that you need prayer for, they're up here available for you to pray with them. But also, maybe this is your call this morning. Maybe you want God to speak to you this week, but you know, like, there's going to be some doubt that creeps in. There's going to be some things that the enemy's going to throw at you, and you just want to be strong through that. That would be an incredible thing for you to come up and ask for prayer for with these prayer partners this morning. Let me pray. I'm going to bless you all, and then the worship team's going to take us away. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your voice. We thank you that you're a God that speaks. You always do. It's really about, are we postured and positioned to be able to hear your voice? Help us to do that this week, to put those principles into practice. Father, as we go out of this place, Father, bless us. Give us favor with who we need it with and what we need it with, and bring us back together, ready to experience more of you next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's worship this morning, church.